Thank you so much for inviting me to come back to this wonderful parish. It has been a real thrill. Thank you, Bill, and for the members of the parish as you're celebrating your 150th anniversary. That's really neat. For those whom I haven't met, I was the rector here from September 1999 till January of 2012. And it was an amazing time for me, and I hope for the parish. It was a time for me of growth and challenge and moving deeper into the heart of God. Our lessons today are about that challenge to continually to move deeper into the heart of God. As Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees and he has no patience with their pretend piety and they're setting up these rules to see whether or not Jesus will mess up. And he dismisses them all when he asks them about taxes by saying, just go pay your taxes. It's irrelevant. The only thing that's important is that you give your whole self to the living God. It sounds so easy. I know that I am continually needing reminders and encouragement, and every now and then to get smacked on the side of the head to say, what are you actually doing? Well, one of those instances of being smacked on the side of the head happened to me when I was working down at the Lowell Transitional Living Center after I left All Saints. When I left, I really wanted to return to doing urban ministry, and I was helping out at St. Anne's and St. John's for a while. I went on what I called a wife-sponsored sabbatical. And then as I couldn't find any church work within a reasonable commute, I ended up going to the Lowell Transitional Living Center in Lowell through my connection there was a member of St. Anne's who worked there. And I became the direct care staff supervisor. I wasn't there as a priest, though it is hard to take that off. I was there. I was in charge of the staff. And they were there doing the hands-on work of running this shelter. So the Lowell Transitional Living Center is a 90-bed dry shelter. You have to be clean and sober to come in. For single men and women, we have 60 beds for men, 30 beds for women. And then in the wintertime, they also run an emergency winter shelter called Winter Protocol, which was another 50 to 75 beds. That one, you didn't have to be clean and sober. You had to be ambulatory, coherent, and willing to follow the rules. There's a lot within all that. So one of the realities of any social service direct care organization, and particularly a homeless shelter, is that there is a lot of rules. And the rules are set up to make sure that the agency is able to continue to work towards their mission. Our mission is to help people move from homelessness to being housed. But the rules are also there for safety because things can get very chaotic very quickly. So we have all these rules, but it is very easy to let these rules be more important than the mission, more important than the people, than the work that we're trying to do. And it's a constant struggle of trying to adapt to what's going on to enforce what we have decided we're going to do. And so this incident happened was, well, I met Jesus. I should probably say I was confronted by Jesus one cold winter evening. What led up to this beforehand is that in the spring, we were there and there was a gentleman, I'm going to call him George. George came in, he had a long history with the shelter. He had schizophrenia, he had substance abuse issues that came from self-medicating, and it was complicated. And we had housed him a number of times, and he kept coming back, and George's life was really hard. So he shows up one day, and I was the supervisor, and we came up to him to ask him, "See, so what's going on?" And he said that he just left this awful hospital, and he's here, and he wants a bed. Well, we have a rule that you can't leave a hospital and just walk into the shelter without us getting releases and information about who this person is. There's a long history of hospitals, institutions, dumping patients on a shelter, saying we can't deal with them anymore, come in. We'd have people showing up with open wounds, IVs, with mental health problems that were just totally out of control. And so we started saying, no, we're not going to accept them. And George knew this. And so we went through this conversation and said, okay, you're going to have to go back to the hospital, talk to them, have them discharge you, and then we'll talk. And but right now, you can't come in. You're going to have to leave. He said, I'm not leaving. And so that's when I got involved with it, said, okay, in my best calm, de-escalating voice, I'm sorry, George, but you're going to have to leave. And if you won't leave, we're just going to have to call the police. He said, okay, call the police. So we called the police. Police come. The Lowell police are absolutely fabulous. They were great, great partners in our work there. And they came in and they talked to him, and he left without incident. Just another day in the shelter. Well, a couple days later, it was Saturday, and the staff on working that morning gets a phone call. And the voice on the phone says, you know that guy Tom that works there? You tell him he better watch out because his house just might blow up. Yeah, we take death threats really seriously. I take threats against my family really seriously. The staff member who was quick enough to write down the phone number that showed up in the caller ID, he calls me, lets me know. We call the police investigate, they trace the number to a psychiatric hospital. Guess who's a resident of the psychiatric hospital? They have a conversation with him. He says, yes, he's done it. Well, the long and short of it, he is now banned from all services. No questions. Just, you are not allowed to even come near the property. You show up, we call the police, you're out of here. Another day. Well, 8 or 9 months later, it's February. One of those bitter, cold, windy February nights. And it had been cold for a few days, and so everybody was sort of jammed in the evening. They're waiting to get in for supper. I was supposed to go home a couple hours beforehand. I'm still there. And we've got about, 100, 125 people in a space that can really handle about 50, waiting to get in for them to serve the meal. And who's standing in the foyer but George? He doesn't look good. He's got a little light fall jacket on, canvas sneakers on. His hands were beet red. His face was red from being out in the cold all day. And he's quietly standing there, and everybody knows the history. He knows that he's not allowed to be there, and I'm the supervisor, so they say, Tom, you deal with this. And I go up. So, George, what's going on? And he looks at me straight in the eye, very calmly, and he says, "Can I be forgiven?" And that's where I recognize, oh, this is Jesus now, isn't it? And I was just ticked off. Jesus, what are you doing here now? We're underfunded, we're overworked, we've got too many people in here, it's loud, it's noisy, it's smelly, and you're asking me to do theological speculation? What I said, that's what I thought, what I said was, "Excuse me? Can I be forgiven?" It's really hard to try to balance trying to keep everybody in this place safe and trying to acknowledge this poor, broken human being as a broken human being myself. And it is so easy for us to just rest in, well, the rules say that you can't be here, get out. And I've done that plenty of times. We all had as the staff. And Jesus says, "I really don't care about your problem with paying taxes. That's just a rule. You're here to follow me." And it is so easy to just let, well, the rules say, and so that's what I'm going to do, and I'm too busy to try to deal with all of the complications of this. But this was Jesus standing in front of me. So what do we do? One of the things I learned being here at All Saints is that it is not a matter of trying to figure everything out so we finally get everything perfect and now the kingdom of God is here and we can just, everything's going to flow from there. But more, it's a process. It's a journey. And there is no perfect program. There is no perfect class. There is no perfect worship service. There's definitely no perfect sermon. That is, once you give it, you've done it, and you can just relax. We all have to keep on working on trying to figure out what could it possibly mean to take up our cross and follow Jesus. What does that mean now, in this situation? And it is hard. And as many times as we do everything right, and it is transformative, and praise be to God, there are immense number of examples of that in this congregation, in your lives, in my life. There are those times when we just don't quite manage it. And that's when we can keep on going because we know we have that umbrella of forgiveness holding over our head that allows us to keep on going. And sometimes I know that I need to be gobsmacked on the side of my head to be reminded that this is some work that we need to keep on doing. And it is okay. I'm not going to get it perfectly. But that's what forgiveness is for, and we keep on working at it. That's what Jesus is reminding his followers, trying to teach the Pharisees, reminding his followers, reminding us that we are here to keep on going, to make those decisions every day. Can George be forgiven? Sure! Why not? He's still banned. But what do we do right now? Well, that night we had a whole lot of conversations. A couple more hours there. What's a couple more hours, I guess? Talked to the other supervisor, talked to the staff, we talked to George, got the whole story about how he had left this program that he was in. Something happened and he'd shown up, he'd been out in the cold all day. And we decided, and it was, well, the other thing about social service agencies, at 5 o'clock they shut down. Even if they're residential programs, you're not going to be able to reach anybody who can make any kind of decisions, even if you can reach somebody that will pick up the phone. So we didn't have a whole lot of options other than just saying leave. And so that night we said, you can stay. You can have dinner. You're going to sleep in a cot right next to the staff station. You're going to call up the agency tomorrow and get back to where you've been. And he agreed to this. And we try to figure out what's next. One more day. We are all called to grow deeper into the heart of God. And it's not a straight line. It's not an easy process. It's not figuring it out once and for all, and now we've got it. But it's a matter of continually working on that, trusting each other, being a part of a community that's going to hold us together so that we can somehow keep on doing that. In our collect for today, we read, "Preserve the works of your mercy, that your church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name." Words like preserve and persevere are not for those who have figured it all out, but it's for us who are trying to each day figure out what does it mean to be followers of Christ and with each other can continue on that journey so we indeed can grow and move deeper into the heart of Christ. Thank you. Amen.